Like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Don't forget, we had the video. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $1,500, and please give generously to that. It's our way of helping the Southern Baptist Convention also to spread the gospel. So keep that in prayer. There's also an insert. Week of prayer from the WMU, so please keep that handy and pray for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering each and every day. There is an angel tree to help a family with Christmas gifts located on the wall back there behind the table as you enter the sanctuary. Your gift will need to be brought to the church by December 15th. Please wrap the gift and put the tag that you take off that tree on the gift so we'll know where it needs to go, who it needs to go to. So please do that and remember the date, December 15th, to have your gift back. Next Saturday, December the 7th, is our annual community supper at Wigham Baptist Church. Sign-up sheet on the table as you enter the sanctuary for items that we'll need for that. And please have your items here to the church by 3 p.m. Saturday. They also are tickets on the back table there. They are packaged and divided into 10 each. So take those and give them out to people that you know or you think that would be encouraged to come and fellowship with us on that day. Just let Brother Tim, Pastor Tim, know. By sometime Wednesday, just text him or call him or whatever how many you have given out. That doesn't mean you stop on Wednesday, but it gives us kind of a head count of how many plates we need to prepare and everything. Be in prayer for that, and also if you can help with that, just be here Saturday afternoon around 3 o'clock. We'll start at 4, I believe. The tickets say from 4 to 6. So keep that in prayer also. This Wednesday is the fellowship meal and church conference at 6 o'clock. Covered dish for that. Please remember that. Come and fellowship with us, eat with us, and then we'll have a church service and a church conference. Sunday, December 15th, after the PM service, birthday party for Jesus. Please bring a gift for the nursing home residents, socks and blankets, and items for the food pantry. So that's Sunday, December 15th. Sunday, December 22nd is the fellowship meal after the morning worship. That'll be a covered dish also. And I know Christmas Eve is not on Sunday. However, when you get Social Security age, you're entitled to Social Security, and you're also entitled to make mistakes. So that's my entitlement for today. I did put Sunday. It's Tuesday, December 24th at 6 o'clock will be the candlelight service and the Lord's Supper. So please mark your calendars for that and pray for that also. Any other announcements? Whew. Tim?
When we pass these tickets out, you don't have to give. If you visit somebody and you invite them and they've got five people in the house, if you'll just give them one ticket, but then let me know how many. And so you don't have to have five tickets for the same family. We're just really just doing the tickets to try to get a general idea, because last year we gave out 275 plates. And so we're not making a difference. That's making a difference. But just let me know how many, and we'll make sure that we have that many plus. And so that's just trying to keep track of it. So appreciate that.
And we are encouraging people to come and fellowship with us. We'll have plenty of room for them to sit and eat, but also at the same time, if they come and want to take out plate, we will certainly provide them with that. But we are asking them this year to just come in fellowship hall to pick up the plate, so to encourage them so we can make that connection, as many people as we can, make that connection with the people. And also, please let them know that. Please also, to piggyback on what Brother Tim said, they do, we if somebody shows up that day and they don't have a ticket, that's fine. The tickets are really for us to kind of give us an estimate on how many plates we need to prepare and all on that. So thank you, Brother Tim. Any birthdays?
I know what one if I have.
It can't be yours, but we signed yours last year.
After Tab.
And I know it's not, they said Pastor Tim, I know it's not mine.
I tell you. And he ought to be in a good mood today. The Florida Gators won yesterday.
Got your birthday present early, didn't you? Happy birthday, Tim.
And if you review, I always pick on Tim Day. If you review the film, if you look at the clip of the altercation they had in the middle of the field, I'm not sure he wasn't the one putting the flag in there.
It's all good, though. Happy birthday. Let's sing happy birthday, Brother Tim. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We get them by and get everything up here. Had a sermon right there.
Okay, I got your song list. It's good to come and enjoy and fellowship and all, y'all. But we do come to a time where we want to start our worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, expressions of worship, we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, prayer, singing, giving, even sharing the gospel with someone is an expression of worship, y'all. And we do want to go to prayer today and just worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, and just glorify you, praise you, Lord, and just worship you with all of our hearts today, Lord. And as we talked about this morning, Lord, worship starts in the heart, Lord. But we do gather together as a family, Lord, and as friends to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I know we say this every Sunday, Lord. We know as we approach Christmas and the Christmas season and the holiday seasons, Lord, that things can get hectic, things are busy, Lord. And many times, Lord, things get stressful, Lord. But, Lord, I just pray today for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we just truly worship our Lord Jesus Christ today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here.
If you can, please stand this morning as we start with Majesty. And we want to sing the message. Feel it in your heart. Praise God through the song. Thank you. Psalm 86, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
what's on the front
two rows here. So I guess it's that time of year again, isn't it, Brother Tim? So we're going to all sing, just keep singing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And we want everyone to come as we sing and get an ornament off of the front pew and decorate the Lord's Christmas tree. It's that time again. So let's all stand one more time, and as we sing, come and grab an ornament and let's decorate the Christmas tree. Thank you.
looks good.
Christmas story, and so this year we're going to do something a little bit different, but I want to think about this as the first day of December. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Because you and I are sinners, and without a perfect sacrifice, you and I could never ever have a relationship with God. Doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how good you look, it doesn't matter how much you weigh, amen. What matters is that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I want to focus this message today on a couple realities, well, three to be exact, that we find as we study the Bible. And basically what the passage or the verse I want to start out with this morning is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Now, chapter 9 is talking about Jesus being our faithful high priest, okay? But now, here in verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the what?" I want you to think about that statement. How many of you are alive today? Come on. I know some of y'all already went to sleep, right? Hopefully we're all alive, or at least we think we are. Now, that may be true physically, but there may be somebody here today who is not alive spiritually. And so we need to realize that if we have been given life, that one thing is true for every single person here, except for those when the Lord returns, that we find is a reality for all mankind, and that is that we're going to do what? We're going to die. Every single one of us, unless Jesus returns, we are all going to die. It's not necessarily a matter of if, it's when. But then we realize that there's a second part of this verse that tells us something that we need to be prepared for. And the second part says, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. I heard of a lady one time that went to the airport, and she didn't have anything she needed. There was an emergency in her family, and so she just rushed to the airport to try to get a ticket to get on a plane to leave, to go to a different town across the state or nation. And the lady said, well, you don't have all the stuff you need. And she said, well, I didn't come prepared because I didn't know I was coming. Have you ever been that way? Can I tell you that there was people whose names were in the obituary this last week that did not come prepared because they didn't know they were coming? We don't know when our time is. We don't know. But we can be prepared for when that time comes.
It is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. I wonder about us today. Three quick points this morning. Number one, you're going to die. We're all going to die. We will face the judgment of God. And Scripture also tells us that one day we are all going to confess Jesus Christ as what? That's the people who have been in church their whole life, who have given their lives to Jesus, who have been faithful servants of the Lord. But it's also going to be true to those who came to church all their life but never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then there's going to be those that just came, other CEO Christians. You know what those are? Christmas, Easter, and other special events. You know, they show up, they say they're Christian, they say they're a member of Wigan Baptist Church, but you can never find them. The CIA, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, nobody can find them, right? Because they're on 10 other church membership rolls. Nobody knows who they are, where they are. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is that those people one day will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. But then there's going to be another group of people who call themselves atheists. And they claim that they do not, what?
Believe.
Come on. You know, it's an oxymoron, right? They believe, they just believe something different than you and I. Well, one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They are going to hit their knees and they're going to bow down and they're going to worship Him. My question to us this morning is, are we prepared? We can celebrate Christmas every year. We can celebrate it every day. But if we don't know the Christ of Christmas, then we're missing the main point. What we're missing, why He came to begin with, we're missing all that He did to accomplish salvation for us. And if He's already paid a price, why would you not accept it and trust in Him and put our faith and trust in Him? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we get into Your Word this morning, Lord, I pray that You would just, once again, God, I pray that You would just convict hearts. I pray, God, that You would encourage hearts. I pray, God, that You would just inspire each and every one of us to be faithful witnesses to You. Because, Lord, we really don't want our worst enemy to go to hell. Lord, You have provided a way for every one of us to come to know You, for those who believe in You. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, God, for the one here who may have never put their faith and trust in You, that they may come to Sunday school, to church 3 times a week. They may give, they may pray, they may teach. But, Lord, they've never trusted You. They've never bow their hearts, their bodies, their minds, their wills to Yours. And Lord, You can't be our Savior if You're not our Lord. And so, Lord, we need to put You in that place, Lord, to recognize who You are, to be repentant of our sins, but also to be faithful to obey, to move, Lord, because faith is an action. It's not a sit-down believing. It's an action. It's something in motion. So, Lord, help us to live it out today. Lord, have Your will as only You can in our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 3 more quick points. Number one is life and death is what we're going to be talking about. Life and death. Number one, life and death. For some people, I've known many infants. If you walk through a graveyard, you'll find headstones of babies that didn't make it a day. You'll find headstones of children that lived 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. You'll find ages throughout the cemetery, 20, 20s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 80s, 90s, 100s. You find all those times. But my thinking is simply this. No matter whether you live a day or 125 years, life is short. I turned 58 today. Where did 58 years go? I don't know. Don't seem like that. I feel like I'm still 24, but I don't look it, right? our life goes so fast. And we think we've got forever, but we don't. As I thought about how life is so short, life is a blessing. Life began with God. God gave life in Genesis 2:7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God created life. It is good. But because of sin, life was cut short for every single one of us. Job said this in Job 14:1. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." He was a wise man. It's full of trouble. Because we can all say that, listen, we've gone through things. Some people may not know what we've been through. Other people may know, or they don't care. But we've all gone through days that have been full of trouble. But here's another thing. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it does what?" I always think about when you're boiling something on the stove, it takes it forever to get boiling, right? But it seems like as soon as you cut that heat off, what happens to that vapor, that steam, after just a minute or two? It's gone. And that's the way it is with our lives. Life is short. Death is certain. But as I think about life and death, I want us to also think about those that are saved and those who are lost. Now, a while ago when I asked, was everybody here alive, some of you answered and some of you didn't. So I don't know, but I'm assuming everybody meant to say that they were alive, at least right now. And as I said, too, that may be physically true, but is it true for you spiritually? Is it true because, you know, it's one thing to say you're saved, but are you actively living it out? How is Jesus working in your heart and life today? Because as I mentioned already, faith is action. And so I can't say that I believed, right? It needs to be something I'm still doing. And to still be doing it means I need to still be learning about Jesus. I need to be in his word. I need to be under his word, whether it's in Sunday school or a pastor. I need it to be regular because, listen to me, if you only eat one meal a week, how strong are you going to be? But isn't that what we do spiritually? Hopefully not everybody. And I'm not here to try to step on your toes. What I'm simply trying to do, if we want a closer walk with the Lord, we got to make changes in our own personal lives. We've got to take time to spend time with Jesus, because if you don't take the time to make time with Jesus, Satan's going to eat your time up. Now, as I thought about the saved and lost, there's two realities for everybody here this morning. You are either saved or you are lost. You are either a believer or a non-believer. You are either a saint according to God's word, not the Catholic Church, amen, or you are a sinner. That we are all sinners that need saving, right? But my Bible teaches that when we put our faith and trust in Christ and when we are born again, that we receive the Spirit of God inside of us, and therefore Scripture calls those who have put their faith in Christ saints. It doesn't mean that I walk around with a halo over my head. It doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. Amen? And it doesn't mean that I don't sin. What it means is that I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I can put my faith and trust in Him to save me from my sins. When I'm saved, when you are saved, it means that there has been a change in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, "And you He made alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins." That means that as I was a sinner, there was nothing I could do for myself. I can't save myself. I can't give enough. I can't do enough in the church. I can't pray enough. I can't do anything enough for God to say, "Okay, Tim's good enough for me." I like to say this. God is a God of action, not a God of reaction. God is always going to make the first move. Okay? And you go back, study the Bible, you'll find out. God makes the first move. God had to call me out of the grave, just like Jesus had to call Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus couldn't get out by himself, right? Jesus had to call him out. Now, there are those who are saved. There are those who are lost. How do we know the difference? John 3:16-18. Listen here. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned." When? Already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there are those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have trusted in Him, put their faith in Him, are living for Him. They are saved. But those who have not believed in Him are condemned. You see, so that's criteria. Saved, faith in Jesus, believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus. Not just a one-time event, but every day, every day, every day. Not that I lose my salvation, but that because faith is active. But then there are those who have not believed, who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus, who have not asked Him to forgive them of their sins. And my Bible tells me that those are under condemnation. They are going to face the judgment of Almighty God. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Tim, I believe." You know what James chapter 2 tells us? This and this. You believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But are the demons going to be in heaven? They'd already been kicked out. Oh, you believe, but how has it changed you? How has it changed your life? What are you doing different today than you did yesterday, or 6 months ago, or 6 years ago, or 60 years ago? Is there a progress? So when I said a prayer, preacher, that's good. But my question to you is, have you surrendered? You can say a prayer all you want, but if I haven't given my life to Him, then He's not in charge. Amen? Because I still am. Have I surrendered my life to Him? We sang the song, usually at invitation time. I don't know what the song is today, but
I'll follow wherever he leads. I'll go. I surrender what? But do we mean it? Do we live it? Is he the Lord and I the Lord? Matthew 7:21-23. Listen to what Jesus says here. I know I use this verse all the time. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then, listen to the words, is then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I didn't know that I was coming, so I didn't come prepared. I wonder how many people are going to stand before Jesus and say that. Jesus, I didn't know I was coming. If I knew I was coming, if I knew today was my last day, I would have done things differently. How many people are going to say that? Because I've heard people personally tell me, well, one day I'm going to get my life right, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. We don't know when that last day is going to be. Why take a chance? Another point people make, we might say, well, Brother Tim, I'm a good person. I know I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Well, it might have been last week. I don't know. Oh, I'm a good person. Surely God's going to let me in. And somehow they believe like the scales of justice in American society that we uphold and we love so dearly. We think that God somehow got a big scale up there in heaven. And as long as I do just enough good to outweigh the bad, then somehow Jesus is going to say, okay, Tim, you can come on in. But you know, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Jesus is not going to judge us according to our works, because he's going to judge us according to the works he's already done. He's already paid the price. He's already paid the debt. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. Romans 3:10-12. Because we think we're good, we're going to get in. This is what Paul writes. He says, as it is written, there is none. What does none mean? It means none. No one. There is no one righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. See, the criteria is not what I've done. The criteria is what Jesus did on the cross. Has my faith in Jesus and his perfect life, him coming as the Son of God, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for sins that I committed. He was buried in a tomb and rose on the third day, and now he sits forever at the right hand of God the Father. That is the criteria. What do I believe? What do you believe? And how is that affecting your life? It's not about being a good person. Faith in Jesus should change our actions. Amen. But we don't try to change our actions to be acceptable to the Lord. It's like when you pastor and Sterling, and he's dead and gone down. You say this. You said you got to catch a fish before you can clean. You got to kill the deer before you can skin it. There's a lot of truth to that, because listen, Jesus got to get a hold of my heart and your heart first. He's got to take hold of your life before you can change. Because even the best we can do is not good enough. He's the one who cleans us inside and outside once he has a hold of us. This third point. The judgment's come. Remember Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for men to die once, and then after that comes the what? The judgment. Life is short. There's saved and lost, believe, unbelieve. But then there's the judgment. And this is something, because there's a lot of things in life you can't be sure of, right? There's always two things I always seem to be sure of. Death and what's the other one?
Taxes.
Yeah, coming up on the end of the year. Taxes. But let me give you another one, this third one. Third thing you can be absolutely sure about is not only that everyone one day will stand before the Lord and bow to him, confess to him as Lord to the glory of God the Father, but there's also the fact that there is a judgment coming for everyone. Right? Now let's clarify that. There are two judgments, right? For the believer, for the person who's saved, the person who is born again, there's what we call the Bema Seat Judgment. That is for all those who have been born again, who have believed in Jesus Christ, and when we stand before him, it's not in judgment. It's not in condemnation. When we stand before him, he will reward us for what we have allowed him to do through us. Right? Now, Bible's clear that salvation is by faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, right? Through what? Faith. And that not of yourself, I can't do it, it is a gift of God. If I have to earn it, its wage is not a gift. Right? I can't earn. God offers it to me, but I have to receive it. You have to receive it. He's not going to force it down your throat. He's going to put it out there. It is by faith, not works. But the reality is, our good works couldn't get us there anyhow. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'm glad it doesn't fall on me to earn my salvation. I'm glad it doesn't fall on me to keep my salvation, because surely I've let go a long time ago. What's in my Father's hand, no one can what? Snatch away. You see, it's by faith. It's faith in Christ and Christ alone. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus saying, you can't get to the Father without me. You have to believe in me. As I mentioned already, the judgment seat of Christ, or as we know it, the Bema Seat Judgment. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Did I put that on there? Okay. Let me record it for you. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to that he has done, whether good or bad. This is talking about saved people. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be rewarded, as I've said already, for the things that we have allowed him to do in us and through us. And the works that will be rewarded for those who have survive a fire. You say, what fire are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians, well, let me back up just a moment. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 14. Listen, here's what Paul says. He says, for no other foundation, the foundation is who? Jesus Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, that's what you and I are supposed to be doing, right? Building the kingdom of who? Not your kingdom, not my kingdom, but the kingdom of God. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with silver or gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. Now, this is the day of judgment, right? That's why it's capitalized in the New King James. For the day will declare, because it will be revealed by what?
Fire.
And the fire will test each one's works, what sort it is. And if anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. Wow. You say, it doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter why I do it. Really? Not what that says. Well, I'm doing it because I have to. I did it. Good. Did Christ do it through you? You see, those things that Christ does in us, that's the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. The wood, hay, and stubble, that's the stuff you and I do on our own. And we do it for the wrong reasons. And even though we might say, well, we did it anyhow, it didn't glorify God. And so in that and through that, one day at the judgment, guess what's going to happen? All that wood, hay, and stuff. Light a match to it to see. But those things that remain, those good things, the gold, silver, and precious stone that Christ has done in us and through us, they're going to remain, and when they remain, the Lord's going to give us a crown, a reward, and as I've stated before, we're going to realize when he hands it to us that we didn't deserve it, and we didn't do it, so guess what we're going to do with it? We're going to cast it back at his feet, because we're going to realize that it was he that is worthy, it is he that did it, not you and I. Wow. So what are we supposed to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. If you are born again this morning, praise God. If you know you're going to heaven, praise God. Can I ask you a question? Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful? You and I are stewards of everything God has given to us, right? Amen? See, some of y'all are already asleep again. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? You are God's steward of your family, your home, your house, your money, your everything. Everything God has given to you, your cars, your trucks, your four-wheelers, whatever you've got, God's given it to you. What are you doing with it? Are you being a good steward? Well, I keep it up, keep the oil changed, tire check, rotate it. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you using it for the glory of God? Are you using it to glorify him, or are you using it to glorify yourself? The lost person, on the other hand, we'll close with this. The lost person is going to find themselves standing before a different judgment. This one is called the Great White Judgment. The Great White Judgment. So where is that at, Brother Tim? Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. This is what John says here. He says, then I saw a great white throne and him. Who is him? Jesus, God. Who is him? John said, listen, I saw this, what I saw, a great white throne, and Jesus who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Who is the them? Well, listen to what John says next, verse 12. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead. Who are the dead? These aren't just everybody who's passed on. These are the ones who have died without Christ. These are the ones who have rejected Jesus. Or maybe they thought, well, I didn't know I was coming, so I didn't prepare. I didn't know tomorrow was going to be my last day, so I didn't trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I thought I had more time. Can I tell you, every single person that has died thought the same thing? They thought they've had more time. And I saw the dead, the small and great. What does small and great mean? It means that that person who didn't have anything, no reputation, no formal education, that saw them, and then the great, those that thought they were somebody, or society thought they were somebody, saw somebody from every form of life standing where? Before God. Listen to me. Man, I'm going to use this hymnal as illustration. Books written. What books? Book of Life. It says another book was written, which is the Book of Life. Because one's going to be the book that has everybody's names in it, whether you're a child of God or you're not a child of God. And the other one's going to be the one that has all of our work stored in, what we've done, what we haven't done for the Lord. And everyone's going to be judged according to those, what's written in the books, right? Now, talks about the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, there's going to be people one day, and when they stand before Almighty God, and God opens up the book, and he's searching and searching, he already knows. You don't have to look at a book to find out whether your name's in there. Right? He knows. He knows those who were his, and they follow him. Right? He already knows, but he's going to search the books. And if he's searching the book and it comes to Tim Dudding's name, and Tim Dudding's name was not listed in that book, guess what he's going to say? Depart from me, I never knew you. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to beg you, please, look again. God, you missed it. I went to church. I did the good things. I put money in all the place. I sang the songs. And maybe he's gracious enough to say, I'm going to give you one more chance. Let me see. Let me double check, Tim. Stop here. And I'm going to say, Lord, I did all these things for you. I cast out demons in your name. I did all these miracles and these works for you. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I'm going to say, Lord, I thought I had more time. I didn't know I was coming today, or I would have prepared. I wonder if today was our last day, would we be 100% sure that we were prepared? Do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that our name is written in the book of life. That there's a song, there's a new name written down for y'all. Know the song? Man, can you sing that song and mean it and know it? If not, you don't know if you have tomorrow. My Bible tells me that today is the day of salvation. Do you know that you know? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You're alive today. Death, we don't know when that's coming. But are you prepared for the judgment? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation today, Lord, I know our hearts and minds are full. Our hearts and minds are questioning, Lord, about our relationship with you. Lord, are we truly prepared today? Do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that our faith, our trust, our hope, our future is in your hands? Lord, that we've laid it all on the line for you, that we have totally surrendered who we are, what we have, to you. Lord, and if not, then I pray today, Lord, if it's because we're not saved, then Lord, I pray today that we would put our hope, our faith, our trust in you and ask you to come into our hearts and lives and to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us and to become Lord of our lives. But Lord, we know that to be true for the unbeliever. But Lord, we also realize that sin can creep into the lives of believers and cause them to have doubt, to have fear, to not put you first and allow you to be Lord in their lives. Lord, I pray that if that is the case, Lord, we would just confess our sins to you. Lord, that we would turn around and do what is right according to you, according to your word. Lord, whatever it is you want us to do today, the main thing is to be obedient. Lord, if one needs to come for salvation, I pray today is the day. But Lord, if there's one who needs to come and confess and get on their knees and pour their heart to you, Lord, I pray that would be true as well. Lord, have your way as only you can. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.